Chapter 9. In the Lane. The next day, Maggie went to see her brother, who was living with his mother at the mill. He was the miller there now, and he wanted to buy the mill back from Lawyer Wakeham. He could think of nothing but making enough money to do it, as his father asked him to on the day that he died. Maggie noticed how sad and alone Tom seemed when she walked into the old sitting room.
"I have come to ask you something, Tom," said Maggie, as they sat down together.
"What is it?" Tom asked her coldly. Maggie looked straight at Tom and said,
"I want you to allow me to break a promise that I made to you many years ago. I want to see Philip Wakeham again."
"Fine," said Tom, more coldly than before.
"Please don't be angry, Tom," said Maggie. "Lucy has invited him to her house this evening. I wanted to tell you, because I don't want anything to be secret between us again."
Tom looked away. Then he turned to Maggie and said, "I will not ask you not to see him. But if you decide to marry him, you will lose me as a brother."
"I'll only be friends with him while I am here. I will go away to another teaching job soon," Maggie said.
"I am happy for you to see him with Lucy, but I don't trust you, Maggie," said Tom. "You are a dreamer. You have a wild side. I don't want you to take another teaching job. I want you to live here with your family and find a good man to marry, but you will not."
"I know, Tom," Maggie said softly. "We are very different people, but you can trust me to do the right things in life."
"I hope that you will," he said. When Philip entered the Dean's house with Stephen Guest that evening, Maggie ran straight to him. He was worried about seeing her again, but Maggie looked very pleased to see him. Philip realised that nothing was different between them.
"My brother knows that I want to see you," Maggie told Philip as soon as they were alone together.
"Then nothing can stop us being friends?" said Philip.
"No. Will your father be fine with it too?" asked Maggie.
"My father knows that I cannot be without you," replied Philip, turning a little red.
"I would like to see you often while I'm here. I shall go away again soon, to a new teaching job," Maggie told him.
"Must you do that, Maggie?" asked Philip.
"Yes," said Maggie. "I can't live with my brother. He would like me to, but I want to make my own money."
Philip was silent for a moment, then said, "Is that the only life, away from the people that you love, that you can see yourself living?"
"Yes, Philip," said Maggie. "For now, I cannot see myself loving anyone. There has always been so much pain mixed with love in my life."
"There is no way to escape pain in life," said Philip.
"Look at me. I can never escape it in my body or my heart."
At that moment, Stephen walked towards Maggie and Philip.
"It's wonderful to have you here with us, Philip. Are you well this evening, Miss Tulliver?" he asked.
"I am, thank you," said Maggie in a strange voice.
Philip's eyes were watching them closely. Soon, Philip started playing music, and Stephen sang just as beautifully as he did the night before. Maggie quickly became lost in his voice. She did not know then just how much Stephen was lost in her that evening. His eyes followed her everywhere. Lucy, who was often singing too, did not notice. But Philip did. He felt worried when he saw the way that Maggie looked at Stephen. Was she in love with him? After that evening, Maggie went to many events with Lucy, Stephen and Philip in St. Ogg's. She became well known in the village as a beautiful young lady. One month after Maggie came to stay with Lucy, the two young women were invited to have a stall at the market to make money for charity. Every rich person in St. Ogg's came to the market that day, and all who saw Maggie noticed her. Many young men came to her stall just to talk to Maggie and buy things. But Stephen did not. He only bought things from Lucy's stall. He wanted to show the people of St. Ogg's how much he liked her. But he kept looking at Maggie. Towards the end of the day, Stephen walked down to Maggie's stall. He stood in a place where he could not easily be seen by the other people at the market. Maggie was counting money when she suddenly heard a soft voice and felt a touch on her arm. "Are you tired? Can I bring you anything to eat or drink?" Stephen asked her.
"Oh, no, thank you," Maggie replied quietly, looking around the market. Everyone knew that Stephen was Lucy's young man. She was worried that people might see her talking to Stephen in a secret way.
"You look very tired. I must bring you something," Stephen said.
"No, please, I won't take it," said Maggie quickly.
"Are you angry with me?" asked Stephen. "What have I done?"
"Nothing. Just go away. People might talk about us, Stephen," said Maggie worriedly.
As she said these words, Maggie looked across the market and saw Philip watching them. Stephen quickly left Maggie's stall, and when Maggie looked back towards Philip, he was also gone. Maggie sat at her stall, feeling worried.
"Will my life always be like this?" she thought.
Life and love always seemed so painful and confusing to Maggie. When the market ended, the cousins went back to the dean's house together. In 2 days, Maggie was going to visit her father's sister, Aunt Moss, who was her favourite aunt. Many years ago, Aunt Moss married a poor man for love, and now she lived some miles away with a large family.
"Please don't go to stay with your Aunt Moss, Maggie," said Lucy by the fire that evening. "I like having you here. You can visit another time."
"I must go, dear. I won't be able to go another time. I'm starting a new teaching job in a town beside the sea at the end of June."
"Maggie, you did not tell me this," cried Lucy.
"I'm sorry, but you've been so busy. I wrote to our old teacher, Miss Furness, asking her to tell me if there were any teaching jobs at her new school. She wrote back to me today. I can start at the school next month."
"Why didn't you tell me something about this sooner, Maggie?" said Lucy. "What about Philip? I thought that you had feelings for him."
"I do, but I do not want to marry him," said Maggie. "Tom has allowed me to see Philip, but not to marry him. I cannot do that to my brother.
Lucy looked away from her cousin, then said,
Maggie, do you not love Philip enough to marry him? Tell me your true feelings. Trust me.
I would like to marry him and make him happy, said Maggie. But I need Tom in my life. I must go away and leave Philip behind. Please don't ask me about it again, dear cousin.
2 days later, Maggie left for Aunt Moss's house. She felt better when the early summer sunshine touched her skin. She was feeding the chickens with her little cousins when her aunt cried,
Who is that tall man coming through the gate?
Maggie felt her heart beat quickly inside her chest.
Who is it, my dear?
Asked Aunt Moss, who could see that Maggie knew the man.
It is Stephen Guest, said Maggie, my cousin Lucy's good friend.
Stephen jumped off his horse and took off his hat. Hello, Miss Tulliver and Mrs. Moss. I won't stay for long. I have a message for you, Miss Tulliver. Could I walk with you for a minute? Maggie felt embarrassed. She started walking towards the gate. Stephen quickly turned round and followed her. They did not say one word until they were through the gate and in the quiet lane. When Maggie finally spoke, she was angry.
I should not be speaking to you out here alone. You have embarrassed me, she told Stephen.
You are angry at me, he said. You only think about your own pain and embarrassment. What about my pain? I am crazy with love for you, but you treat me like I am unkind to you. I want to marry you. I want to give you everything I have, all of myself. I am sorry for Lucy, but I love you.
You must not say these things, said Maggie. I am very sorry for any pain you have felt because of me, but you must leave now.
I can't leave you, cried Stephen. How can you be so cold? I thought you felt something for me too.
Maggie felt like she was having a bad dream.
It is a terrible thing to allow a word or a look between us that Lucy, that others might see. You must think about Lucy, said Maggie.
I do, Stephen said.
I also have Philip to think about, said Maggie.
Will you marry him? Asked Stephen.
He has always loved me, said Maggie.
Maggie, tell me that you do not care for me, cried Stephen.
I love you. We must get married.
Maggie was silent. She wanted to tell Stephen that Philip had her heart, but she could not say the words.
Please, Maggie, say that you will marry me, said Stephen.
He was very close to her now. She wanted to stop fighting her feelings and tell herself that loving Stephen was not wrong, but she could not.
We have not promised to marry Lucy and Philip, said Stephen.
Stephen's hand was now on hers. Maggie looked up at him with sad eyes.
Oh, it is difficult. Life is very difficult, said Maggie. It seems right that we must follow our strongest feelings, but those feelings will hurt our dearest friends. That kind of love is too painful for us,
and for others. Some of us must forget about love to be happy in life. Don't push me to marry you. Please help me. Help me because I love you too.
My dear Maggie, Stephen said, quietly putting his strong arm round her back. I will do anything that you want. But please, give me one kiss before we part forever. They kissed. Then Maggie looked into Stephen's eyes for a long time. When she reached the house, she threw her arms round her aunt's neck and cried.